generals.
At that news briefing at an airport in upstate New York, she also slammed Trump for what she said were positive comments he made about Russia's President Vladimir Putin. First-time claims for unemployment benefits are down. The Labor Department says 259,000 Americans filed initial claims last week, down 4,000 from the previous week. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com. Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Some federal officials are not giving thumbs up to a new movie about the so-called Miracle on the Hudson. The film depicts National Transportation Safety Board investigators as badgering U.S. Airways Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger after he safely landed a disabled U.S. Airways jet on the Hudson River in January 2009. The investigators say they were very respectful of Sullenberger during their investigation. Sullenberger saying of having Clint Eastwood make a movie about it.
The doorbell rang, I opened it, and Clint Eastwood was there.
Did you know he was coming? Because that would frighten me if the door opened and he was just there.
Sullenberger appearing there on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He's portrayed in that movie by Tom Hanks.
Do you recognize yourself up there?
My wife does.
Yeah. Parents in a Los Angeles suburb want more information after letters were sent home saying two elementary school students might have leprosy. School officials now say the letters were sent last week out of an abundance of caution. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
A close call for some Navy pilots at a Mississippi military base. Randy Bell has that story.
Two Navy pilots are okay after their plane crashed during a training flight in Meridian.
One of the people in the plane would have been the instructor pilot. The other one would have been the student pilot who would be in training.
Naval Air Station Meridian Public Affairs Officer Penny Randall says they were able to eject from the plane safely before it went down in some woods on the base. The crash is under investigation. Randy Bell in Jackson.
I expect to work really hard over the next 4 months.
President Obama not ready to give up hope that the prison at Guantanamo Bay will be closed before he leaves office. He spoke at a news conference in Laos today about it.
I continue to believe that Guantanamo is a recruitment tool for terrorist organizations.
About 60 terrorist detainees still at Gitmo. Republicans say they shouldn't be released because previously released prisoners have returned to the battlefield and taken up arms again against the U.S. A well-known athlete could be going from the NFL to the MLB.
The Mets say they have signed Tim Tebow as an outfielder and will take part in the Mets Instructional League in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The 29-year-old Heisman Trophy winner had been looking to transition from the NFL to baseball and last played the sport in high school. As a QB, Tebow, of course, played for the Broncos and Jets in the NFL from 2010 to 2012 and had stints with the Patriots and Eagles in some preseason games. Jennifer Polsoni, New York.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor-supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited-time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll have your reaction from our Facebook poll about Chris Christie's veto of the $15 minimum wage here in New Jersey. I'll have the five reasons you need to know what your business is worth, why ITT Technical Institute closed its doors, how the auto industry just eclipsed $1 trillion in one category. I'll explain what geotagging is, and I'll have a few final thoughts as we approach this weekend's 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. It's Thursday, September 8th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, let's take a look at the weather. It's currently 82 degrees at 12:06, and the forecast shows that today it'll be mostly sunny, hot and humid, with a high of 90 degrees and a low of 71. For tomorrow, or as I call it, thank God, it's the return of Friday Night Lights football. It'll be partly sunny and hot with a high of 90 degrees and a low of 71. For Saturday, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 88 degrees and a low of 72. And for Sunday, it'll cool down to 83 degrees and a low of 56.
And we be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. We be taking care of business.
And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 34.04 to 18,492.10. The Nasdaq is down 17.17 to 5266.75. S&P 500 down 3.31 to 2182.85. Oil is up $1.65 to $47.15 per barrel. And gold is down $4.20 to $1,345 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you are up to date. Now go to www.hunterdonchamberradio.com to hear the rest of the show. Well, here we are. It is Thursday. It's a little after noon o'clock, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. So glad you could join us. So upset that I missed last week's show. Wish that I could have been with everybody, but had something else I had to do. And after 15 or 16 years, I think we have finally found a solution to a major problem that I had. Every now and then you hear me talk about my hand on this program and that I've been dealing with a lot of intense pain in three fingers in my hand. And it's very hard to describe to people, you know, when you hurt that much. And but so last Thursday, I went to New York City and met with a doctor, and he gave me an injection, basically an epidural, for the pain, which actually is starting in my neck but radiating down to my hands. And I've had about five pain-free days, which I have not had. If I get five pain-free days a year, that's a lot. So to have five in a row, it's just been a great week for me. So just thrilled with the results. I have to go back and get another shot in about 2 weeks, and hopefully then we'll be on the road to either knowing that this is the treatment that we're going to be using, or I may need surgery, but at least now we're starting to finally get some of the results that we've been looking for over the years. So all good on my end. Well, when you hear that music, that can only mean one thing. It's time for the Profit Recap. Every week at this time, we recap what happened on CNBC's television show, The Profit, starring Marcus Lemonis. And this week was just one of those episodes when you sit there and you know that the train is going to hit the truck at the crossing, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to wait and see, and, well, this was definitely one of them. The company that Marcus was looking to invest in is called The Soup Market, and it has five locations in Milwaukee. It's owned by a gentleman named Dave. His wife works, I believe, at the university, UWM. And then there was this woman called Grace, and everybody kept talking about Grace like she was Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter series, like she who shall not be named. Nobody could talk about her. None of the employees would talk about her. Even Dave wouldn't talk about her. And obviously it was something that was bothering Marcus because without getting the full picture, how was he supposed to be able to invest in this particular business? So they have five locations. And all the way through the episode, right up until about the 57-minute mark, Marcus is in. You know, he's on board. He's not happy with the way things are going completely, but he still believes in this business. This is one where you saw right away, completely franchisable. You'll have 500 locations in 5 years. Every mall would have a soup market. It would have been great. The owner, Dave, didn't accept Marcus's suggestions. He changed things even after Marcus brought experts in to change the design of the stores and things like that. He didn't have one low-fat or healthy soup option. In fact, when they brought four of the soups to a testing lab, one of them tested out at 1,700 milligrams of sodium and a very high fat content. So it was just, you just kept watching him and saying, man, if you just listen to this guy, he knows what he's doing. He's going to make you a lot of money. But still, he was a little too stubborn to accept that. And then towards the end of the show, you find out that Grace was the director of operations. And apparently, the owner had made some advances towards her a year or two earlier. She had filed an EEOC complaint, and at that point it was time for Marcus to run like Usain Bolt, and fortunately he did. So after all the changes, within 2 weeks, the owner, Dave, changed everything back to the way it was. It was just, you could just tell some people are so stuck in their ways, some people think they know everything, that they won't accept any, not even criticism, but suggestions that might make a business better. One underlying theme that is coming through in just about every episode of The Profit is that business owners really don't know their numbers. When he comes in and he says things like, what are your margins? And they don't know. What are the margins between the small, the medium, and the large container? And the owners still don't know. I get concerned. And it's something that I find, when I consult with businesses as well. Cost of goods versus sell. What's your profit margin? What's your, what are these ratios? What are fixed costs? What's your rent? What's your insurance? When people don't know those numbers, I realize, A, I've got a lot of work to do, but more importantly, I'm wondering how have they been running their business over the last 3, 4, 5 years, whenever I get involved. And it just seems like, why wouldn't you want to know everything there is about your business? Because it makes you better. It definitely makes you better as a business owner when you know your numbers. Now, if you were to come into my office today and say, what's your debt load? What's your sell price? What does this part cost? I know that information. My son knows that information. Most of my employees know that information because it helps us as we're working. It helps us work a little bit smarter. We could order 10 pieces, but if we only need 5, why would we? Why do I want inventory sitting on my shelves? And basically, I'm just looking at dollar signs and not a ton of inventory. So if you're in business, if you own a business, if you manage a business, if you're thinking of opening a business, you can have the greatest product in the world. You could have the greatest sales team in the world. You could sell a lot. But if you're just selling and not making money, you're making a mistake. So you have to do that deep dive and know your numbers. And it's something that I've said several times on the show. Marcus and I, when we were tweeting together on Tuesday night during the show, I tweeted, know your numbers, and he tweeted right back. He goes, that's got to be rule number one. You have to know your numbers. I tweeted right back to him, then let's make rule number two, ABP, always be promoting. And he agreed because in addition to not knowing numbers, businesses that don't market themselves – have a real hard time, you know, explaining to me why they're not growing. But when I ask them, well, let's talk about your marketing campaign, and they don't have one, now I've got a problem because I got to start from Jump Street. And I'm not here to necessarily be a business professor and teach you how to run your business as much as I am here to help you put your business back on track. So, again, your homework every week, watch The Profit on CNBC with Marcus Lemonis. Also, you can go to CNBC.com, look up U.S. Shows Primetime, find the icon for The Profit, and look at back episodes. But if you're in business, I think it's just – but this is like the getting your Ph.D. in business. You really want to listen to what Marcus is saying, listen to the advice that he's giving, and then see if any of that can be transferred back into your business. And if it can, by all means, you know, take advantage of it. When we come back, we got a couple of commercials to run through. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Facebook poll that I put out there about a week ago when Governor Christie vetoed the $15 minimum wage. We got a lot of feedback. We want to go through some of that with you and see what the next steps are. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. And we get together every week at this time for a show called Taking Care of Business. So let's get right back into it. One of the issues and one of the biggest issues facing business lately is what has been proposed as the increase in the federal minimum wage. Currently, depending on what state you're in, it could be $7.25, it could be $8.35. Two states have gone towards the $15 minimum wage, and now New Jersey was to be the third. But last week, Governor Christie had vetoed that because citing that it would be bad for small businesses. So I put it out as a Facebook post. You know, what do you think? Are you in favor of the increase in the minimum wage, which would be scaled in over several years, or are you against? And so Josh Burke, who owns Joshua's Landscaping, who we've mentioned on the show several times, said that it would kill small business owners and that it would equal more taxes and more payroll. And I've given the example several times of the McDonald's store owner that owns 32 stores and already has calculated how many employees he would have to let go just to maintain the current level of payroll. I think it was up to about 45 employees would end up losing their jobs. A woman named Susie, I think she was a little confused by what the word veto means, because she said it would be good for workers, but bad for, or no, she was right. Good for workers, bad for small business. Yes, the workers are getting more money, bad for small businesses, because now that would affect businesses in a negative way. Lewis mentioned that he can't sign that bill and still hang with Trump. So he's saying that it was more of a political move, and that he couldn't sign a bill raising the minimum wage and yet be with the big businessman Donald Trump. So he's saying that there were political motivations as to why Governor Christie did not sign the minimum wage increase bill. Stephen Sagrestano mentioned that it will not do anything but spark inflation and taxation. Susie came back one more time and said, I also think this may bump up salaries for other workers, which is good. Maybe to protect small businesses can be in effect for large corporations only, like food and store chains, hospitals, etc. Tina mentioned that some states do have the minimum at $15 an hour, and maybe we need to check to see how they did it and how it is working. I would think employers would get a better quality worker who would be more reliable, since they would be missing out on more money if they got fired for slacking off or missing work, possibly less turnover and therefore more productivity, since the training would not have to be done as often. Just a thought. So good points. You know, if you pay more, does that attract a better quality candidate to your business, or are you just paying more and getting the same level? And there's been arguments on both sides of that. A person who's making $7.50 an hour is only going to give you $7.50 value for that hour. When you bump them up to $15, are they going to work any harder, or are they just going to do the same work and, you know, but still give you the same output? Now, one gentleman that I respect a lot for his business thoughts, John Lonsdorf, mentioned that these were his thoughts. Currently, the minimum wage is too low. And according to the Associated Press, the 13 U.S. states that raised their minimum wages at the beginning of this year are adding jobs at a faster pace than those that did not, providing some counterintuitive fuel to the debate over what impact the higher minimum has on hiring trends. That said, raising it to $15 would be damaging to small businesses and a shock to the economy. We do need to move forward with a minimum wage increase, but we need to do it in measured ways. The bigger issue is that we as a state are stuck between a rock, our governor's hard right turn because he's tired of being governor and wants to be president, and a hard place, the leaders of the Democratic-controlled legislature, which can't even agree on important things between themselves. Again, because the Senate president is running for governor and the Speaker of the Assembly supports a different candidate. So what becomes our default position? Let's propose a constitutional amendment and let the people vote on it. What a stupid way to govern. Just because the two sides can't do their jobs and agree on a reasonable compromise on important issues, pension reform, the transportation trust fund, and now the minimum wage, to name but three, we are stuck with enshrining what should be governmental legislative issues into inviolable law in the state constitution. That's no way to run a state, and both sides should be ashamed of themselves. So there's my 2 cents for what it's worth, likely not even the 2 pennies that it was mentioned that. Now, he also added one final point. He said a lot of people complain about those who are on various government assistance programs. He says it is his belief that by not raising the federal minimum wage, as we have not since 2009, and then only slightly, we have entered into a zone where not working can compete with working. We need to make it so that it is substantially in your better interest to get a job than consider not working as an alternative. Excellent point right there. When he brought in that second point, I've heard that argument many times, both from habitual people who are constantly on unemployment and, you know, first timers. When they do the math and they say, look, I could go out and I can get a job at $12 an hour, or I can make the same amount of money and stay home, they opt to stay home. So we do have to make it a method where working is encouraged over not working. And again, the pay scale has to be commensurate with the amount of the value that you're bringing to the job. I've currently been interviewing several people for a position in my business, and I'm amazed, absolutely amazed at the quality of candidates I'm getting. And I'm not saying that complimentarily at all. We are getting the bottom of the bucket here. And I'm sitting there going, wait, you want me to pay you $12 an hour and you can't form a sentence? You want me to pay you $12 an hour and you come to a job interview in a t-shirt and sweatpants? No, that's not the way you present yourself, and that's certainly not the way I present my company. And then when you make excuses and you say, well, I was let go from my last job and I was laid off, and then they were hiring again 4 months later and they didn't bring me back, guess what? You weren't laid off from your last job. You were fired. When I see on job applications reduction in hours, reduction in hours, reduction in hours, but we're looking at a major United States employer, guess what? You're being let go for a reason. You simply cannot do the job. They were just being nice about it and forcing you out. So I found one superstar out of about 20 applicants, and he's working out great so far, but it also came with a referral from a trusted friend. He knew this person and said, you know, this guy's got it. So he'd be a good hire. And so far he has turned out to be just that. So it's a difficult argument. From the business side, you look at it and you say, if I have to increase to $15 an hour, where does that money come from? Well, now I have to raise my prices. And I heard an economist tell the story of if you raise salaries first and then you raise prices second, nobody wins. People think they're making more money, but they're basically making the same. And that's the part that nobody's been able to counter yet and tell me, yeah, we'd be better off because, especially if it's just we're in the same boat, we're just spending more to get less, then I'm not sure that raising the minimum wage is better. I think what has to happen, what I'd like to see happen, is that there be more job training so that the people who are currently in minimum wage jobs can earn more because they bring more to the table. That's what I would love to see, you know, happen. How do we do that? How do we get them to go seek that training? How do we create those programs? And how do we tailor those programs for the types of jobs that are currently available? That is the $64,000 question. In the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, during, you know, the Industrial Revolution, when we were doing a ton of manufacturing, you could take a person who would be a minimum wage employee today and train them a skill and train them in a job that would pay them 2, 3, 4 times their normal minimum wage salary. But now they had a skill set. And you know, the kid that I hired in my business, I told him flat out, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. In 2 to 3 years, you could be running this division. But you got to put in the effort now. And like I said, the attitude's been great. Can't wait to see, you know, what happens. And I'll keep you posted along the way. All right. Why do you need to know what your business is worth? Well, here's 5 reasons on why you should know exactly how much your business is worth. As a small business owner, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that a business valuation simply isn't necessary, at least not yet. After all, you're busy trying to grow your business. You can worry about what your business is worth down the road when it's time to sell or think about retirement, right? Well, as it turns out, though, you shouldn't wait for a business valuation. There are several reasons why it's important to know how much your business is worth right now. For instance, planning for the future. A business valuation provides a current market value that you can use to assess the strength of your business and determine where improvement is needed before you retire, sell, or pass the reins to another family member. Once you know how much the business is worth, you'll be able to plan for these events with confidence. 2, if you're purchasing adequate insurance coverage. Small businesses often use a life insurance policy to protect against the death of a key employee. In this case, a business valuation can help determine how much insurance coverage is necessary. 3, if you plan to expand your business, when it's time to grow, then an accurate and up-to-date business valuation makes it easier to approach lenders and raise capital. It provides potential lenders with a snapshot of the health of your business, which in turn facilitates the decision-making process. 4, establishing a buy-sell agreement. Now, this agreement typically outlines what happens to a business in the event of death, disability, divorce, or retirement. If one of these events triggers a sale, you'll need to know the value of an owner's or partner's share of the business. And finally, 5, helping with tax and estate planning. If a business owner passes away, the family or estate may be required to pay taxes based on the value of the business. Without a certified business valuation, determining how much your business is worth will probably fall into the hands of the IRS, and there is a good chance they're going to come up with a whole different number than is actually the truth. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. Big news in the business world. ITT Technical Institute closed its doors. I'll have that story next and the impact on the 40,000 students and 8,000 employees nationwide. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Breaking news this hour from West Texas. One person has been shot at a high school in Alpine, Texas. The school now being evacuated by police after a lockdown. Police say up to 2 shooters could be on the run from officers. President Obama is in Asia, and he says the concerns being brought up to him is whether his successor will continue policies benefiting Asia.
The concern that I've heard is not that what we've done hasn't been important and successful. The concern that I've heard is, will it continue?
Donald Trump appearing last night at a commander-in-chief forum answering a question about suicide among veterans, saying the Veterans Administration needs a division of mental health.
We're going to speed up the process. We're going to create a great mental health division. They need help. They need help. They need tremendous help. And we're doing nothing for them.
USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Hey everybody, singer-songwriter Brett Watts here. If you're like me, always on the go, and don't have time to stay as healthy as we would like by eating all the right foods, well, I found an incredibly simple and easy way to get all my fruits and vegetables at once. It's called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods. No MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in 2 flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's 1-O-N-E-dailylift.com. Onedailylift.com, and let's get healthy.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and so glad to be with you. What a crazy, crazy time it is at Crown Trophy of Flemington, you know, now that we're getting back in school, but real busy in our sign shop, real busy in the apparel division, and going crazy with promotional items as well for corporate events. So real happy with the way that the business is growing, and thanking everybody here for the support. In Flemington as well, because without the community rallying behind us and supporting us, couldn't be, you know, as successful as we have been. Well, maybe you've seen the buildings, usually in city centers. ITT Technical Institute, this was kind of a trade school, and they have announced immediately that the ITT Technical Educational Services is abruptly announcing this Tuesday that it will cease operations on all campuses across the country. Now, think about this. You're in the beginning of September, the new school year, and the college's closure, which is going to affect 40,000 students and 8,000 employees, is going to be the largest in U.S. history. Ben Miller, a senior director at the Center for American Progress and a former senior policy advisor at the Department of Education, called the closure long overdue and described an institution whose concern about growth and profit trumped quality education for students. The reason why this action took down ITT was because of choices repeatedly made by management for years that weakened the school, harmed students, and ultimately tarnished a brand that used to have value, Miller told Business Insider. ITT, however, blamed the Department of Education for forcing its hand. with what we believe is a complete disregard by the U.S. Department of Education for due process to the company, hundreds of thousands of current students and alumni and more than 80,000 employees will be negatively affected, ITT wrote in a statement on Tuesday. The announcement that ITT Tech will close comes a week and a half after the department imposed sanctions on ITT Education Services that banned the school from enrolling students who use federal financial aid and required ITT post a $153 million letter of credit on top of the $94 million reserve requirements it must already meet. Shortly after, ITT announced it wouldn't accept new enrollments at all. The department's sanctions struck such a blow to ITT Tech because, like most for-profit colleges, it's highly dependent on federal aid. More than a year ago, another for-profit college behemoth, Corinthian Colleges, shuttered doors on its California campuses, affecting 16,000 students there. Corinthian, however, was able to sell its campuses in other states to nonprofit schools, which allowed a majority of students to continue working toward their degrees. ITT Tech, however, won't be selling the school to another institution, according to a statement. We reached this decision only after having exhausted the exploration of alternatives, including transfer of the schools to a nonprofit or public institution, it said. So ITT Technical Institute now out of business, 40,000 students without the opportunity to pursue their education in and get a degree in one of the trades that they were looking to do. In the show open, I mentioned that the auto industry has just reached the $1 trillion level in one segment. And anybody want to take a guess what that is? And it's kind of scary. But car loans now top $1 trillion. But with that, delinquency rates on those loans is also rising. Americans are borrowing more than ever for new and used vehicles, and 30- and 60-day delinquency rates rose in the second quarter, according to the automotive arm of one of the nation's largest credit bureaus. The total balance of all outstanding auto loans reached $1.027 trillion between April 1 and June 30th, the second consecutive quarter that it surpassed the $1 trillion mark, reports Experian Automotive. Now, more consumers also are turning to leases, which accounted for 31.44% of all new car and truck transactions in the second quarter, which is up from 26.9% a year earlier. Both 30- and 60-day loan delinquencies rose, but the combined subprime and deep subprime share of new and used auto loans and leases dropped from 23.3% in the second quarter of 2015 to 22.8% in the second quarter of 2016. Those are two words that I never thought I would hear again after the mortgage loan crisis: subprime and then deep subprime. And what that means is you simply can't afford what you're trying to buy. But somehow, the banks and the lending institutions will find mechanisms to get them the financing they need. Yes, subprime and deep subprime loans are growing, but the entire market is growing from a volume perspective across all risk tiers, said Melinda Zabritsky, who's an experienced senior director of automotive finance. In fact, she says, the subprime loans have actually dropped as a percentage of the total market. That, combined with only a slight uptick in delinquencies, makes clear that the sky is not falling. But the growing leverage that is supporting the industry's near-record sales remains cause for concern. The average new car loan was $29,880, which is up 4.8% from the second quarter of 2015 and about $4,000 less than the average new vehicle selling price. The average monthly payment on those loans was $499, up from $483 a year earlier. A growing portion of those loans are for a longer term, sometimes as long as 7 years. Last month, Fitch Ratings issued a report that found that among subprime and deep subprime borrowers, those with a FICO score of less than 600, the percentage that are 60 days or more behind on payments reached 4.59% in July, a 17% increase from a year earlier. I see the dark clouds forming. Now, while the major automakers have said their captive finance arms like Ford Credit and GM Financial have not moved aggressively into subprime lending, Ford executives did acknowledge in July that rising delinquencies were one of the several factors causing them to warn that business would be more difficult in the second half of 2016. In a quarterly filing with the SEC, Ford reported in the first half of this year that it allowed for $449 million for credit losses, a 34% increase from the first half of 2015. General Motors reported in a similar filing that it set aside $864 million for credit losses in that same period, up 14% from a year earlier. The increase in leasing could have repercussions in the next 2 to 5 years. As more of those leased vehicles are returned, it will tend to depress the price at which they sell at auctions. That means people wanting to trade in a 5 or 6 year old vehicle to buy a new one will get less money for their trade-in, meaning they will have to borrow more, consider leasing, or consider a used vehicle. One of the biggest trends we see is the shift to used vehicles by customers with excellent credit, Zabritsky said. As new vehicle prices continue to rise, savvy consumers are looking for ways to control costs, and that appears to be pushing more customers toward used vehicles. So $1 trillion in loans now out there in the auto industry. And like I said, when I read that story and saw those two words, subprime and deep subprime, it was like, here we go again. And I can remember when I was in the recruiting industry, one of the areas that our office worked in was banking. And Chase Bank and others were constantly calling us saying, you need to get us people who can handle subprime loans, deep subprime loans. This is our growing market. It's going to be the biggest thing. And we were filling positions left and right for people who were going to become mortgage underwriters. And then all of a sudden you realize, similar to the movie The Big Short, you know, the bottom fell out. They were giving credit to people who had no business getting credit, no business owning a home, and then they were defaulting on their loans. And I think at one point banks owned 26% of all real estate, vacant real estate, in the United States. So I got a feeling that in a year or two we're going to start hearing about the defaults on these car loans becoming a major issue, just when the automobile industry is really getting back on track. Well, we talked a little bit earlier about the Chris Christie $15 minimum wage, and how do you attract, or will this make employees work harder, work better, and bring more value to the company? But let's forget the minimum wage for just a minute. How do you attract more innovative employees to your workplace? Is there that magic bullet that you use that would bring the best candidates to the fore? Now, hiring talent is likely the single most important duty that business leaders face, and retaining that talent comes in at a razor-close second. Great business leaders know it takes more than a great resume and glowing references to determine whether a candidate will help drive your organization into the future. The most successful companies focus on hiring innovators, employees who possess the innate attributes and emotional intelligence required to advance your business. These are the people who not only think outside the box, but that's where they spend most of their time to begin with. The big question is, how can you lasso these special unicorns and help keep them happy to help you grow your business? Well, here are some suggestions for attracting innovative employees to your workforce. First, you want to create a culture that speaks for itself. Now, even the best recruiting firm in the world can't win you great hires if you have a poor company culture. A unique, upbeat, autonomous culture is infectious and will drive innovators through your doors in droves. To become a destination for innovative professionals, take a cue from some of the tech industry giants. Google, Apple, and Facebook know that the key to attracting the best people is creating a space where creativity is rewarded, collaboration is encouraged, and mistakes are seen as learning opportunities rather than failures. When people love their job, they're not shy about it. So make your people happy, and your positive reputation will spread like wildfire. You also want to ensure leadership exercises both empathy and positivity. If your leadership team doesn't feel personally responsible for the career advancement and satisfaction of their employees, you've got a problem. These are the people your most valuable team members and future leaders look to as an example, and it's absolutely critical that these individuals embody the image you want your company to display to clients and potential hires. Not only should each member of your leadership team remain positive and approachable, but they should also use empathy. A leader who has lost touch with the everyday challenges and struggles of their team is not a leader you want representing your company. You also want to be transparent about opportunities for advancement. Now, innovators are intelligent people, and they can see through empty promises and doublespeak. So when they ask about advancement opportunities, be frank. If you have a straightforward, well-plotted path for upward mobility within your organization, share that. But if you don't, then be honest. Explain potential opportunities and how you foresee an employee climbing the ladder. Once they're employed, take time to sit with them and map out a plan for their future. You also want to ask for feedback early. One of the greatest mistakes employers can make when interviewing a failing to ask for feedback. Not only can candidates be a goldmine of information, and keep in mind they're likely interviewing elsewhere and have plenty of insight to share, but asking their advice shows your business values the opinions and experiences of its employees. Knowing they have an opportunity to make their mark within an organization is important to the innovators. Offering them this liberty right off the bat will set you apart. And remember, experience isn't everything. There are two types of innovators: the highly experienced professional who brings years of industry tribal knowledge, and the young and eager beginner who's fresh on the professional scene. Both are valuable assets, and every business needs an equal mix of each. But don't confuse experience for aptitude. To attract the best and most innovative talent, you have to be open to hiring candidates of all experience levels. A recent college graduate with little more than an internship on his or her resume can quickly become your next star, so long as they have the space and the resources to blossom. Now, if you struggle with bringing in right talent, you're not alone. But by following the tips outlined here, you can transform your business into a magnetic workplace and a space where innovation thrives. So go find those golden nuggets. All right, it's 12:45. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. I'm going to step away for another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about social responsibility and how it can help you stand out from the competition. We'll be right back.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a
friend. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. Currently 82 degrees in Flemington, New Jersey. It's 12:47. So glad you could join us once again. We'll be back next week with more topics affecting businesses, large and small, both here in Hunterdon and on the national scene as well. Social responsibility is becoming one of the areas that more and more businesses are spending a lot of time on. Now, that could be everything from how you donate to various causes, to being a green company, recycling, and letting people know how you're doing that, whether it's solar panels on the roof, changing light bulbs, etc. But the question is, how can it help you stand out from your competition? So does your business strive to be as green as possible? Do you offer employment to those who would otherwise struggle to find a job? Do you volunteer your time and business expertise to local charities? Many small business owners engage in what is called socially responsible practices because it aligns with their values and gives them a sense of satisfaction. But being a socially and environmentally responsible business can give you a marketing edge too. According to Shell Horowitz, who's a consultant and author of Guerrilla Marketing to Heal the World, companies that make social responsibility a core part of their business identity set themselves apart from the competition. He pointed to Ben & Jerry's ice cream as an example. The ice cream company started small and eventually grew large enough to compete with Pillsbury-owned Häagen-Dazs in the 1980s. The company was bought by Unilever in 2000, but the ice cream maker remains committed to its founding values. So whether you're going to spend $5 at the supermarket or $50,000 at a car dealership and you see a company that shares your values, you're going to choose that company, he said, and added that small business owners shouldn't be afraid to share with customers the ways that they work to make a positive impact. So take a quick, stop right now. Hit the pause button and say, are you doing anything that's socially responsible? Are you green? So if you're in the automotive industry, are you recycling oil? If you have a large building, are you using solar? Are you reclaiming water? Things like that. Are you hiring handicapped people? Are you hiring veterans? And it's not something like where you have to brag about it, but you should let people know, excuse me, along the way that this is part of your business culture. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
All right, we're back. I apologize for the little coughing fit there, but one other thing you need to do is to claim your business. I've been trying to read this story to you for about 6 weeks now, but it's becoming more and more important. You want to claim your business listing on these five directories I'm going to mention to you as soon as you possibly can. Now, back in the day, once upon a time, a small business owner only worried about placing the right address and phone number in the phone book, the go-to directory of the analog age. Today, there are so many online directories that can be hard to keep up. You simply don't have time to spend playing whack-a-mole with business listings. So you can, however, develop a smart strategy for claiming and updating a few of the most important online listings for your small business. But which directories are worth your time and attention? I've brought down the five big ones that you're going to want to start with. And keep in mind, there are probably 30, 40, 50, or 60 others out there that you should be looking at and updating. Even the simple stuff like the hours of operation and what credit cards you take, is there parking available, things like that. So here we go. Google My Business. The search engine giant has a listing service directed at small business owners like you. Just visit google.com/business to claim or add your business to Google's directory. From there, your business location, contact information, and services will appear across Google+, Google Maps, and gain traction in the search engine's results. Like Main Street, a strong company presence here will do wonders for your business. You also want to be on MapQuest. It may be a surprise, but the geo-mapping service we all use so frequently offers a listing service for businesses, allowing customers to find you while on the road and in your area. And don't forget Yahoo, local basic listings. Yahoo has carved out a niche in the business world by covering the corporate world and financial markets. Yelp gets a bad rep among small business owners because of unfair, even biased reviews and customer rants, but there is value in Yelp's business listings. So visit biz.yelp.com. And Bing Place for Business is a good idea to make sure that your business has claimed its listing on all three major search engines that include Microsoft Search Engine Bing. So those are the five that you want to go to. And finally, don't forget, the Yellow Pages kept up with the digital revolutions by building Super Pages. And you can claim your business's page by entering your phone number at claimlisting.superpages.com. All right. In sports, NFL Week 1 kicks off tonight. And it's a rematch of last year's Super Bowl featuring the Denver Broncos against the Carolina Panthers, game time at 8:30 p.m. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway. The Red Sox, Indians, and Rangers lead their division in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead the National. Don't forget to visit Flemington tonight for Thursday Night Lights and the Filling Station at the patio tomorrow for Saturday and Saturday night in Flemington at 5 p.m. Martin Truex Jr. won last week's Southern 500 at Darlington Speedway. And in other NASCAR news, Dale Earnhardt Jr. will miss the rest of the season as he continues to recover from a concussion. On a serious note, this Sunday marks the 15th anniversary of the attacks on our country with the World Trade Center, Pentagon, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania events. like you, I'll never forget it. And knowing that on that day I was supposed to be in Tower 1 makes me always give pause and be thankful that other circumstances kept me away that day. But I never forgot those who lost their lives, like Chris Ingracia, Tom Pahimas, and my friend Joe Pick, who was at my house just 2 days before the attacks playing basketball, and you shouldn't either. I'll close the show today with the best song ever written about that day, Where Were You by Alan Jackson.
When the world stopped turning, that September day, out in the yard, your wife and children, working on some stage in L.A., did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones? Pray for the ones who don't know? You rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sobbed for the ones left below. Did you burst out in pride for the red, white, and blue, the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters? Just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, driving down some cold interstate. Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you love her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset, first time in ages, speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some stranger, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I could tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. The greatest is love. The greatest is love. Where were you when the world
stop turning that September day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Complete listing of our programming.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC.